Happy Ramadan, Boston. Welcome to BNN News. I'm Faith Thamafadon. Thanks for tuning in. Communion and empowerment were at the forefront of this year's International Women's Day breakfast in Fenway.
Women and feminists across the Commonwealth gathered on Friday for the International Women's Day breakfast at Simmons University. The annual breakfast, now in its 26th year, celebrates the achievements of women leaders in Boston and beyond, while amplifying the voices of the growing sisterhood to empower women.
Growing up in a household with just brothers, I was always told that I was the girl. Girls should do this, girls should do that. And then my brothers were like, no, you could do what we do, right? And I want other men to feel that way also, that women have the ability to do and be on the equal footing as them. So to me, it's uplifting to know that there's a possibility, that it's out there. But there are times where I feel this pain and this agony that there are some men and women who truly don't believe that we should be equal.
This 26th anniversary of Women's Equality Day, we can look at so many things. Our first woman vice president, a woman of color, our first woman mayor, so many accomplishments, but we're still behind. We still do not have women in the C-suites. We don't have enough women in decision-making roles. So it's critical that women come together, make alliances, and move this agenda for equity forward. As Abigail Adams said, we have to remember the ladies, and now the ladies have to remember each other and bring us along.
Over 50 organizations were present that morning, and this year's theme, Breaking Barriers and Building Bridges, resonated with panelists and guests. Attendees discussed gender equity and the pay gap. Despite strides forward in these areas, all were in agreement it's not enough.
It's frustrating to wake up once again on International Women's Day and know that there is still so much more that we need to do as women to overcome the implicit bias and the institutional bias that exists, because we are living in systems that were not made by us or for us. And so that's exhausting.
Gender equality is very important. I am so excited that all of these organizations are here today to celebrate that and bring women together and really try to come up with solutions and plans to support women and girls across the world. This is really a great opportunity, and I really hope that in my lifetime and in the future generations, they'll be able to see equality in real time and feel safe, supported, and empowered in this world.
Advocacy and persistence underscored the message of the morning. The connective tissue of our humanity demands finding common ground and equal footing with men in our society.
Everyone wants the same things. They want to live life and navigate it in the way that they please. And I understand that because some people may not be males, or because of the color of their skin or their nationality, it does create hurdles and barriers to their success. I know personally I've experienced that as a woman of color, but I make sure that if I'm going to be in the room, I'm going to be a voice, so that way we can come together and build stronger solutions.
We are still not where we need to be when it comes to parity, when it comes to pay, when it comes to education. There's still a lot of roadblocks and barriers when it comes to women doing the same things that men have been doing, whether it's in politics, whether it's in business, whatever sphere. And so it's important for us to be in spaces like this today on International Women's Day to affirm our shared work and our collective work to create this society that we want for ourselves, for our children, and for next generations.
On Wednesday, constituents lit up at the news of thousands of residents receiving pardons for cannabis convictions.
Governor Maura Healey announced an executive action of sweeping pardons for individuals with cannabis possession misdemeanors in Massachusetts, a move that was made possible by President Biden's 2022 announcement for full unconditional pardons for simple possessions on the federal level.
Massachusetts decriminalized possession for personal use back in 2008, legalized it in 2016. Yet thousands of people are still living with a conviction on their records, a conviction that may be a barrier to jobs, getting housing, even getting an education. For some, it's also simply more than that, a difficult memory, a burden, something they live with every day, all for doing something that isn't even cause for arrest today. That doesn't sit right with me. It's not fair. It's unfinished business. Knowing we have the power to lift that burden, we should do something about it. As Dr. King said, the time is always right to do what is right. So let's do the right thing now.
Criminal convictions for simple marijuana possession have serious lifelong consequences, making it nearly impossible to secure housing, obtain a job, be afforded educational and other financial opportunities. These consequences are only compounded when you consider that a disproportionate number of those who have been arrested and convicted for marijuana possession are Black and brown people. A 2020 ACLU study report found that in Massachusetts, Black people are 4 times more likely to be arrested for marijuana possession than white residents and white people. And that is not because they engaged more in the possession of marijuana.
Healey's pardon will lift the burden of a biased criminal legal system that preys on people of color.
Today is a huge day, particularly for residents of the Second Suffolk. I have the largest amount of people incarcerated in the Commonwealth's DOC system, many for drug charges. And for those Black and brown young people that had something happen in their life that was their worst day, not being stigmatized in housing, education, and employment to get greater economic opportunities and be able to take care of their families, this is huge.
The pardon will instantly apply to all eligible convictions prior to March 13, 2024, impacting thousands of Massachusetts residents.
The years that have transpired afterwards, I've still carried that with me for so many years. Now, 20 years later, the governor is, you know, doing a sweeping pardon for anyone who's been convicted of simple marijuana possession, which is huge because I personally have, you know, been in the shadows and felt like I've had to carry this burden for so long.
The war on drugs has been an American nightmare for so many people. And now with this action of Governor Healey and her team, it is so important that we now give folks a new opportunity to see life anew again.
Those convicted for possession of marijuana, also known as possession of a Class D substance, are feeling optimistic about what's ahead with Healey's decisive stance.
This is a great day for the Commonwealth, a great day for all those individuals that have been affected by the racist war on drugs. This is just a small step in the larger scheme. But back then when I was arrested, you know, cannabis was heavily scrutinized, people looked down on us, and that follows you around. You know, it bars you from getting certain jobs, certain educational opportunities, and certain housing opportunities. But I'm very fortunate and very grateful now for the Healey administration to take this step forward, and I hope we can build on this.
On Tuesday, Benjamin Franklin Cummings Institute of Technology finally broke ground on construction on a new campus that will serve residents in the heart of Roxbury, Nubian Square. Benjamin Franklin Cummings Institute of Technology, now known as Franklin Cummings Tech, is on its way to a new state-of-the-art campus in Boston's Nubian Square, and they've already revealed the details about the design, permitting process, and plans for the college's move to a new building.
It's long been a priority of the city of Boston and certainly of our administration and our partners to not just preserve the community and residents who live in this area, the businesses that give Boston its life, but to grow, support, and ensure that we're investing in sustainability. Today's groundbreaking is central to that vision because Franklin Cummings Tech is the embodiment of a mission to accelerate economic opportunity and generate wealth right here in Nubian Square and with our families, by expanding horizons for the many, many students who are breaking barriers within their own families. Students of color, first-generation students, our future leaders, and the talent that we rely on.
The fact that Franklin Cummings Tech is going to be in the heart of Nubian Square is a tremendous increase to the value of the community because it's going to be providing quality education that leads to good, solid careers. But it's also an opportunity for redevelopment and investment in a community that has been overlooked. And so when we think about the people who live in this community, to have this kind of asset and resource in the heart of the community, to serve the community, only good things are going to come out of it.
Located at 1011 Harrison Avenue, the multi-story facility will allow students to continue their current trade studies in a new manufacturing center, automotive shop, and rooftop learning lab. Innovative learning environments and community resources will help students reach their full potential.
The new building that we celebrate today is central to our work to advance what we call our future forward vision. And to do so in a way that transforms people's lives, drives the economy, and better guarantees equitable prosperity in this neighborhood and this region. The new FC Tech headquarters that will rise here will educate generations of entrepreneurs, technicians, and technologists who will shape Greater Boston's economy going forward.
We are here at the center of the city of Boston in Nubian Square at the groundbreaking for the Benjamin Franklin Cummings Institute, a vocational college for our young people and also not so young people who are walking through, driving through, taking the bus through this neighborhood. And now we have a destination that is going to actually give them elevation, giving them an opportunity to do what they should be able to do in the city of Boston, which is make a good living for themselves in the trades, make a great wage for themselves, and not only get a job, but actually build a career.
Now, Franklin Cummings Tech is looking future forward with their campaign to make it possible for students of all backgrounds to say yes to higher education.
We are grounded in Nubian Square, and for us, this is a source of pride. We are able to make more than a $40 million investment here because people have believed in us and our mission and what we are doing. And they understand that those investments will have a wonderful return on civic capital.
City organizations are repurposing a familiar building in Boston to accommodate more than 200 individuals in need of affordable housing. Located in the heart of Boston, 140 Clarendon Street will transform the lives of over 200 individuals by providing affordable housing, starting a new chapter at the historic YWCA building, especially for those who have faced the harsh realities of homelessness.
Thanks to this partnership between the city, the Commonwealth, Pine Street Inn, Mass Housing, Beacon Communities, and the Mount Vernon Company, 200 plus more residents and families can continue to call Boston home. We are driven every day at the city level by our determination that we will make good on housing as a basic right, that there shouldn't be a difference between the great housing we can imagine for our neighbors and the housing that they can actually call home. 140 Clarendon will be that home for hundreds of residents where people feel and have a space of their own and are truly connected to this community where they belong.
So this building really represents a major victory in housing homeless people in our city. 111 people who were sleeping on the streets or in a shelter now have their own room, their own small apartment. They have some common and community space to enjoy together. And they've gone from being the people who have no place to go to the people who have a key. And I can't tell you, I can't say more about the kind of dignity that represents for people.
The space is more than a shelter. It's a representation of hope and stability. Future residents will expand the building's capacities that are providing office space for Lyric Stage and Snowden International School. The affordable housing units will include a fitness center, computer learning center, and community room. Residents will also have access to programs and services offered by the on-site community engagement staff.
We are so thankful the Y did the right thing here and sold the building to the Dream Team. 111 units for folks that were homeless for a very long period of time, either in shelter or on the street. And, you know, everything has come together. Pine Street's providing services. The community has welcomed this development with open arms, and we are going to start, you know, see a decrease in the number of people that have to live in shelter or on the street. So the city could not be happier.
It's not only the 210 units that we're celebrating today that impact 210 individuals, but it's really going to be thousands of people if you think about it over the years. As those units turn over and support and help other folks who are in need of these units. And this really is a best practice. It's not just about creating the housing, but the support that's necessary, not just to survive, but to thrive. That's where the dignity comes from.
This team effort is rewriting the narrative of homelessness with the support of a city that believes in second chances. Fueled by the power of compassion, 140 Clarendon Street is the first of many stops on the journey to end homelessness. All season, BNN has been following the talented high school basketball teams of the state. And this weekend, several Boston schools will hold court at the MIAA Basketball State Championship. Take a look at what's in store for the boys and girls teams playing Saturday and Sunday, respectively.
It's the 2024 MIAA High School Basketball Tournament, and we have three teams from Boston that made it to the state finals. We have the Girls Cathedral Panthers, New Mission Titans, and the Charlestown Townies. Coach Coleman and Coach Cho are no strangers to this high-level basketball as they talk about the process of making it to the finals.
Sometimes it's playing through the mistakes and, you know, talking to them a little more gently and stuff like that. So we were able to get some great contributions from little Jalen and big Jalen. DeMonte hit some big shots for us, and that senior leadership was awesome, Giordani. So as a team, you know, we've prepared this whole time, and, you know, we trust the process. We put the work in. We got veteran leadership here so we can think through moments. When I'm up, he brings me down. And I guess if we're two down, I can bring everybody up. But it's a team effort.
Without a doubt.
Team effort.
We also spoke with head coach Elijah Clayton with the Titans of New Mission on his first time making it to the state finals.
It feels great because they put in so much work over the last 6 to 8 months. We get on them about defense. We took a couple hard losses early on in the season. So this feels really good because they're finally buying in, they're disciplined, they're playing smart, and they're playing hard. And these are kids that I had since ninth grade. And I came up from JV with them, and they're playing hard for me. They're playing hard for the school, and I'm just glad after 4 years we're able to get here.
Congratulations, teams. Let's bring these trophies home for the city of Boston.
Medicare Advantage open enrollment is ending soon, so we invited back field outreach consultant Heather Hurd over Zoom to discuss the ins and outs of what's different about Medicare Advantage and why you don't want to wait to make your selections. We're talking about Medicare's Advantage open enrollment, which is actually ending at the end of March on the 31st. So I'd love for you to start with discussing who exactly is affected by this open enrollment period.
Thank you. This is an excellent question, and it's good for people to understand Medicare and the time periods for changing plans. So right now, we are in the Medicare Advantage open enrollment period. It is from January 1 to March 31 each year. It affects people who are specifically on Medicare Advantage plans. So these are people who have already enrolled onto Medicare and they've chosen a plan for themselves, a private plan that works together with Medicare. It's called Medicare Advantage. If they want to change this type of a plan, they can do so now up till March 31st. They can do two things during this time. They can either change from one Advantage plan to another Advantage plan, or they can disenroll off of that Advantage plan and go back onto original Medicare from the federal government. At that time, if they disenroll from an Advantage plan, they can pick up what's called a Medicare supplement and a separate Part D plan to pay for their prescriptions, because those Advantage plans usually include a lot of extra benefits and drug coverage. So when they let go of an Advantage plan and go back onto original Medicare, they're letting go of those extra benefits and drug coverage, so they can pick up those plans separately through supplements and Part D drug plans.
All right, excellent. Thank you for breaking that down, because I know people are like, oh yeah, great, this is my time, but Medicare Advantage open enrollment period is actually not for everybody, as you said. And just to continue to go back to basics, how do people get onto the Medicare plan in the first place?
Yes. So people are aging onto Medicare every day in the United States all year round. You become eligible for Medicare when you turn age 65. Some people are covered at a younger age. They might have been covered for disability, and they might be, you know, in their 30s, 40s. After 2 years of disability coverage, they may be eligible for Medicare. Everything with Medicare starts on the first of the month of when you're first eligible. So if someone is, let's say they're turning 65 on March 10th, their Medicare would be effective March 1st. It's always retroactive to the first of the month that you're eligible. If you're born on the 1st, it would be retroactive to the 1st of the month before your birthday month. All year round, people are becoming eligible for Medicare, and the way they sign up for Medicare is by working with Social Security. So they contact the Social Security Administration and sign up on Medicare. They can do so 3 months prior to their birthday month. And they'll get that Medicare card in the mail, and then once they have Medicare, they have health insurance from the federal government. And there are two parts to Original Medicare, A and B. Part A pays for inpatient type coverage. Medicare Part B pays for doctor care and outpatient services. Part B has a monthly premium. It's an individual cost per person per month. And that is for all of 2024. It can change. It usually changes a little bit every year on January 1, and that cost is set by the federal government.
Good to know. So since you already started talking about misconceptions, particularly with Plan B, can you share some other misconceptions about Medicare that people have?
Well, Medicare can be quite different from employer coverage. So if someone's been working their whole life and covered by their employer, they may have had a plan with a lot of benefits towards preventive services. Prescription drug coverage is usually always included in that employer insurance policy. And so there's an assumption that Medicare will cover these things too. And Original Medicare covers everything that's medically necessary, hospitalization, medical services, but Medicare does not cover as many preventive services as an employer plan. For example, a routine eye exam, money towards eyewear, preventive dental coverage. Prescription drug coverage. Original Medicare doesn't cover the prescriptions that we pick up at the pharmacy today. Oh. So people on Medicare don't have a lot of those preventive services, and they need to buy another plan known as Medicare Part B to pay for prescriptions if they're taking prescriptions. Those Part D benefits, they can be purchased as standalone drug plans, as I just mentioned. Or if someone buys a Medicare Advantage plan, like the plans they can change right now, these plans usually include the Part D drug coverage. One other thing I'd like to mention about Medicare is that if people don't sign up at the right time when they're first eligible, they can face late enrollment penalties with Medicare. Part D in particular, I've met a lot of people that didn't take drug coverage when they were first eligible to buy a drug plan through Medicare Part D because they probably weren't taking medications. And they then were faced with a Part D penalty, and then that penalty they paid forever once they got on a Part D drug plan. So it's important to understand the timing, when you should sign up. People can delay going on to Medicare if they continue working. So that's important to note. If someone is turning 65, but they decide, you know, I like my job, I don't want to stop working, and they have an employer plan with 20 employees or more, they can delay going on to Medicare. So there are times when you don't have to sign up right when you're eligible. Employer coverage would prevent a penalty.
Good to know. But big message, do not wait, is what I heard. And Heather, can you talk to us about what are the new plans that are out there for 2024?
Well, the plans in the market in Massachusetts, we've had the same types of plans for many years, but the insurance carriers will oftentimes introduce new types of products. So there have been Medicare supplements in the market for quite a long time. These are plans that pick up and pay after Medicare. There are Part D drug plans, as I mentioned. These are plans that pay for prescriptions, and they're bought by private insurance companies. And there are Medicare Advantage plans, which is what people can do now. If they want to change a plan, they can change it during this time. This is a Medicare Advantage enrollment period. These Advantage plans are usually HMO or PPO type of plans. So HMO are more managed care plans, health maintenance organization, PPO, preferred provider organization, a little more flexible in and out of network coverage. So what's new is that the Medicare Advantage plans, there are more and more of them now, and all the insurance companies have a portfolio of different offerings. So the Medicare Advantage plans, from a premium standpoint, are very affordable. They give people a lot of benefits and a lot of extra benefits. So I think you said in the beginning what was new, a lot more extra benefits with Medicare Advantage plans. So examples, preventive dental, routine vision, routine hearing, money towards fitness, money towards weight loss programs, over-the-counter benefits. There are a lot of extras being added into Medicare Advantage plans that make the plans very attractive to members. The one thing members need to pay attention to is they need to understand the plan benefits, not just the premium, because there is cost sharing as people go for medical services, such as co-payments, things like that. And those co-payments will continue as long as the services continue. So people need to be aware of the out-of-pocket cost sharing and make sure it's okay for them. That can accumulate up to what's called an out-of-pocket maximum.
For those who feel like they need more guidance in enrolling and in choosing the best plan for their needs, who can they reach out to?
We have a wonderful resource in our state of Massachusetts known as the SHINE program. SHINE is an acronym, Serving Health Information Needs of Everyone on Medicare. SHINE counselors are available at senior centers and councils on aging throughout the state. They are advocates and there for people on Medicare, and they'll help you look over the plans. You can bring in your list of prescriptions, and they'll say, "This is we recommend this Part D plan or this plan based on the medications you take." They know about programs that can help if there are income hardships. They know about Prescription Advantage, which helps with the cost of prescriptions. There are other programs people may qualify for. So I can't say enough about the SHINE program. They are there to help people in their community.
Thanks for tuning in, Boston. That's our broadcast. Next week, instead of our regular news broadcast, we'll be sharing two special offerings. First up is a conversation with the creative forces behind Come On In, a special one-man show featuring multimedia artist Daniel Callahan, opening March 28th at Strand Theater. We'll also be premiering A Passion Project, a short documentary on the Jimmy Fund Walkers in light of Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month, which is March. For BNN News, I'm Pip the Maffedon. Have a great night.